All right, 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4, if you turn there with me tonight. I know you've probably gotten all settled in, but I'm going to ask if you're physically able to stand as I read through the passage. I'd like to ask you to do so if you would. If you're not physically able to, we completely understand that. 2 Kings chapter number 4. Beginning of verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. Who are the sons of the prophets? Well, it's basically like a Bible college. All right, they had set this up and they were getting trained, right? Under Elisha. But what did she say? She said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Back in those days, and it wasn't just in Bible days back here, but throughout much of history, if you couldn't pay your debt, then you had to basically surrender your kids into bond service so that they could work off that debt. We've reminded of our kids of that often. I'm just kidding. But verse 2, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." Dear Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight in this half hour we have remaining. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Lord, I pray that you would impact our hearts by having contact with this account. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we have a real life story here, don't we? We have something that's going on that is common to us. We understand this. Here's a lady, she's recently widowed now, and she's got two sons, and boy, everything is going wrong. You ever find yourself in that situation? Everything you try just goes sour. The things you thought you could count on are taken away. The plans you made, boy, they're not working out at all. She finds herself in this situation. I want to point out, first of all, that it's wonderful in this story that she knows who to turn to. She turns to Elisha. She turns to the man of God. Now, friends here tonight, I understand we live in a different age. We live in a different dispensation. We're in the church age right now. This was under the law, and there are distinctions between those time periods. But what I want to point out is her attention. Where does her attention go? Well, we can see this even in the next. There's a story that comes after this. I'm trying to stop saying story. There's an account right after this of the Shunammite woman, etc. And they make a little place for Elisha, the whole idea of a prophet's chamber, you know, that type of thing. Okay, and you can see some parallels between these stories. But it specifically mentions them talking about the man of God. I think, friends, that when we go through difficulty, when we have trials in our lives, it's not a bad thing at all to seek out the man of God. We won't pause on this for a very long time, but I, having grown up here, etc., I know here at Calvary we don't worship our pastor. We don't worship any of the pastoral staff, right? That's not something that we do. But aren't you grateful for them? Amen. I can't tell you. I'm grateful for times when I was younger and in junior high and high school. I think it's a great privilege, by the way. I can talk about Pastor Reese because he's not here. And it's okay. It's fine. They're out with a new granddaughter, I think. Grandson is a new grandson. All right, wonderful, fantastic. I know they tuned in, at least Miss Jeannie did last night or yesterday morning, whatever it was. They tuned in. So if you're watching, howdy. But I think it's wonderful that the man I used to have to be sent to see in elementary because I was getting in trouble is now one of my trusted advisors in the ministry. That's wonderful. Friends, I believe there's a lot of parachurch ministries today. Para means alongside, like paraclete. Remember last night or yesterday morning, the Holy Spirit come alongside. There are a lot of wonderful parachurch ministries. I'm not against those. I mean, you can start listing them out. Radio ministries and ministries of, for lack of a better term, movies. We don't call them movies, though. What do we call them? Films. Right. That's just a joke for some of the older folks, right? You know, past terminology. Even older, if you get back older, we didn't watch films either. We saw a series of still images shown in rapid succession to give the illusion of movement. That's just a little funny one for some of you out there, right? Okay. It's Monday night. I'm trying to, you know, keep us awake a little bit. But they're good. They're counseling ministries and, of course, Bible colleges and Christian colleges, things like that. I'm not against any of those things. But, friends, I think it's important to remember that today God's love is for the local church. I think this is vitally important. There are people that say, well, you know, local churches, they're full of problems. Well, guess what? They're full of people. And you're not perfect yourself. The man of God, I wanted to pause there. Yes, it's a different dispensation. I understand those things, but she know who to go. She know who she ought to go to. But let's dig in here. What happens? Well, Elisha says, okay, what do you have with you? She said, well, I've basically got a pot of oil. Now, what was that? That was really the lifeblood of a house. I mean, by that, they could see at night. They could cook with it. I mean, that was the lifeblood. If they ran, once they ran out, they could sell it. If they were hard up for cash, they could sell it. It was super important. This is what they were living on, basically. And she was down to one left. What does Elisha say? Go get a bunch of containers, right? Find all the Tupperware you can find. Go to your neighbors. Say, you got any Tupperware with no lids? That's the way it works, right? Can I borrow them? Just bring them back. And you know what? I want to look at verse 5. He gives her the instructions. What does verse 5 say? So she went from him. What does that mean? She did it. She obeyed. What's the principle there? You know, I'm not a pastor, so I get to say things that pastors would get in trouble saying. And I know we've got pastors and former pastors here, and I kind of think of pastors like Marines, once a Marine, always a Marine. So even if you're, you know, retired, etc., you still have that pastor heart there, you know, so I'm still going to call you pastor, all right? We've got a number of pastors here this evening. But I know for a fact, because I've talked with pastors, one of the most discouraging things is to meet with people week after week, month after month, explain to them the Word of God, show them where their life is not matching up with the Word of God, and they thank you for it, and they turn around and do the exact opposite. See, if the pastor didn't care, then it wouldn't bother him. But it bothers a good pastor. Why? Because they want to see people living their lives for Christ. They want to see the hurts minimized, and they want to see the growth there. Oh, what a lesson we can learn from this woman. She didn't stand there and argue with Elisha. Well, Elisha, you don't understand. I only have one pot of oil. What is a bunch of empty containers going to do? She went and did it. What else? Well, she followed her instructions and his instructions, and the Bible says, shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. Now, I spend a lot of time trying to dig into what's the significance of the fact of shutting the door. And a lot of commentaries skip over hard passages. I don't like those. But the commentaries didn't really deal with that a whole lot. And my thought is, this is my opinion, okay, ding, 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 opinion alert. You might have a different opinion here. That's fine. My thought is that this wasn't supposed to be a big flashy thing, but rather it was something that's just going to be done for her and her family. That's my tendency to think that. You can definitely see that here. Because I think sometimes that just makes it all the more special. Do you realize that God wants to answer prayer in your life individually? Why is that so vitally important? Well, we gather together, we pray corporately. Lord, would you do this thing in our church? Would you work in this way? Would you supply this need? And it's been exciting to hear some of the things that have happened here to meet some needs, whether it be modular buildings or other things going on. It's just exciting to hear that. But you know what's just as exciting? When God meets a need in your heart that hardly anybody else knows about. Isn't that special? And it's just, it reminds you that God is there. So she went out from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And it came to pass, verse 6, when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, by the way, her sons are pretty obedient too. Well, they're pretty motivated, aren't they? You know, this is our last hope. This is our last straw. You know, if this doesn't work, whatever's going on, then, you know, we're going to the creditor. But they work with their mother, and she says, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. What does that mean? It stopped pouring more out. Then she came and told the man of God. There it is, man of God. I knew it was in this passage. It's also in the Shunammite passage as well. And he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. What's going on here? If we're not careful, we will misapply this passage. Let me illustrate why or how. With the children of Israel, God had a special relationship that was very physically based, right? In other words, if you obey, I will bless your crops. If you obey me, the Lord said, I will protect you roundabout from your enemies, right? You remember this? I'll make you fruitful, even as humans, you know. You'll have lots of kids and, you know, a lot of workers for the farm, you know. I mean, that was good. There was a special covenant relationship. And by the way, that's not over. There are promises that God has given to the nation of Israel that have yet to be fulfilled. There's going to be real physical land given to the nation of Israel yet in the future. Don't believe any theology that comes along and teaches that the church has replaced Israel. There's some authors out there that have got some good stuff. As Pastor Dan has always said, my dad has always said, and others, you got to chew the fish, spit out the bones, right? You got to know what you're reading, know what vantage point they're coming from. Had a good talk with Ben Van Holstein this afternoon a little bit about, it was about a bunch of different stuff, but one thing he said, it cracked me up. I was thinking about it as I was getting ready for a church service. You know, there's people that just go on Google and find anything on there and just believe it and then regurgitate it, right? It's like, where's your filter? Where's your theological grid through which you pass everything? Oh, it's Pinterest. Oh, good. I saw this cool meme, you know. See, I thought that was funny. Right? But beware of theological systems that teach that the church has replaced Israel, because basically what that is saying, to boil it down, is that God has changed his promise, and he's transferred his promise to the nation of Israel over to the church. And friends, that's not our God. He's not a liar. He doesn't forget his promises. Now, there's some good authors and teachers in that category. We'll get to heaven. We'll find out that we independent Baptists have been right all along, okay? No offense, if you're visiting, you know, from another, I'm going to get myself in all kinds of trouble. We love you, all right? If you're here, we love you. What's the point here? Okay, it's easy to jump to an application and say, you know what, God knows about your need, and he's going to meet your need, and his provision's not going to run out. That'd be easy to jump to that, wouldn't it? Because here, look at this example. I mean, and the oil just keeps running out. So it would be easy for me to get up here and to preach and say, listen, if you got a financial situation, just trust God. The money's going to keep coming in, and then you're not going to run out of money. Or you got a health situation? Well, just trust God. You know what? He's going to heal you no matter what happens. But listen, we're making a jump here. What is the cruise of oil? What is the analogy? What is the application of the cruise of oil today? I want to submit to you that the cruise of oil is not money. It's not health. It's not some specific answer to prayer. The cruise of oil for the Christian in the church age is grace. Why? In the church age, the promises that we have are spiritual. In fact, we're already seated in heavenly places. The promises we have don't have to do with God telling us that he's going to give us a piece of property somewhere, right? No, the promises we have are victory over sin because Christ won the victory, amen? The promises we have that even if we go through difficult times, that God, that Jesus will not leave us. Do you see the difference? It's easy to jump from some of these Old Testament passages and just go right into an application, and we're ignoring the fact that, hey, wait a minute, we're in a different time period. We're in the church age now. Listen, you know what I can tell you based on the Word of God and what's a whole lot better in my opinion? I can tell you right now, the money might run out, but God's grace will not. You might be in a health situation right now, and you know what? You're praying to be healed from it. God may say, yes, I'll heal from that. Or he might say, no, this is my will for you. But I can guarantee you, he'll be with you with his grace. Christian, you will never see the cruse of oil of the grace of God run out in your life. You've got a young person in your family that's away from God. Listen, you keep praying because the grace of God will not run out. You want to see God do some amazing things in your family, in your heart. Guess what? The grace of God will not run out. And look, what does Elisha say? Go sell the oil and pay thy debt. He could have stopped there, right? That could have been the end of the account. Pay your debt. Hey, we're square. That feels good, doesn't it? We've paid some bills off recently. Man, that feels good, right? Feels good to just write that last check. You know, I mean, we spent the money, or if it's a health thing, you know, it's something like that. So, but then we were like, arr, you know, just there's a digressiveness there. We've been trying to follow Dave Ramsey's plan. It's, you know, we can't drive a beater vehicle. He calls them, you know, because we actually have to get from point A to point B, right? So there's some adjustments we have to make. But boy, you know, we follow that plan pretty much. And it's fun to be able to do that. We're planning when we pay everything off, we're calling in and we're going to scream, we're debt free. We're going to do it. In fact, we might drive there because we have been known to drive places. Paying the debt, that's great. But it didn't end there, did it? What does he say? And live thou and thy children of the rest. What's the principle here? Friends, listen. God didn't just provide for this new widow and her little family enough so she could break even. He provided over and abundantly. Listen, friends. We have a God that can work, not just meet our expectations. Not a God that just, you know, oh, I think God can do this. I hope he gets up to that level right there. That's not the kind of God we serve. Friend, we have a kind of God that could work exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I was challenged recently, actually this morning, as I was reading. Sometimes it's good... I want to say this the right way. We should pray specifically, but sometimes I think we can limit God in our praying because we're trying to come up with all the options for him, right? Well, Lord, please, if you could answer this prayer, I mean, we could do this. Option A, Lord, option A is really good. Option B is good too. It's got, and then there's option C, Lord. So I don't know which one of those three options. And the Lord's like, I've got option Z ready to go, right? And it's always better. God's way is always better. Now listen, it's easy to preach that. It's a lot harder to live that. But friends, I want to encourage you. The grace of God will never run out. You can live thou and thy family of the rest. Here at Calvary Baptist Church, we've got guests here, and it's true for your churches, just as it's true for Calvary. I really believe that God is at work in a special way in our churches across America. I'm I'm being asked more and more. Pastor Dan asked a variant of this question on Sunday, and it's a common question that I get. So what are you seeing out there, Brother Ben? You know, you're traveling around, and we don't have the opportunity to kind of sink down deeply into one location, but we get snapshots of hundreds of churches over time. With a lot of churches, one thing that's been pointed out to me is some pastors have said we're a lot leaner, but the Spirit's a lot better. That's a common thing I'm hearing. In other places, I'm hearing about God doing some amazing things. People you'd never think would come to Christ are coming to Christ. In other places, we've seen God put relationships back together. You never thought there was any hope. And yet, the grace of God came into that situation and transformed it. And let me tell you something, there's no faith strengthener. No faith strengthener like seeing God's grace at work. So as we close tonight, let me ask you this. Have you been afraid that God's grace would run out? Now, none of us would say that.
I'm afraid that God doesn't have enough grace.
No. That's not what it's like. That's not what we say. But our hearts betray us, and we worry, and we become filled with fear. In our own life, we've gotten to a situation where we are homeless. I mean, we don't have a trailer. We literally live in other people's homes, hotels, and prophets' chambers. We've been doing it now since August, so September, October, 14 months. We're going on 14 months. We thought we'd be done with this by now, right? And if you're curious, it's not horrible. Like, it's just the way that we, quote-unquote, make our money. There's no box in the computers for faith when you apply for a home loan, right? I kept waiting for it. It just never showed up. So how's the Lord going to provide? Well, we've seen God provide for 20 years as a family, so we know he's going to provide. There's no box for that, right? We're making changes to how the income comes in so that we can show more income. We're being smart, okay? There's two sides, okay? We're planning for the future, etc. Just it's going to take a little while. But you know, as we drive down the road and to hear my kids after a night of meetings, hey, let's go home. Time to go home. Well, what is home to them? Home is wherever we are at that time, right? It could be a hotel room. It could be we've stayed in church basements. I mean, it's been quite a life. And it's been kind of, the intensity has been turned up over the last year. You know what's so great? God's grace is there. We've had some of the happiest, funniest times of just belly laughing, you know, great times as a family. Who knows what the future has, but you know what? God's grace hasn't run out. That's a simple thing, right? I can guarantee you, wherever you find yourself, friend, brother, sister, God's grace isn't going to run out on you. God's going to be faithful to you. And you know what has helped me? Maybe this will help someone here. Remember manna in the Old Testament? Right? I have a friend, a pastor friend of mine, Brother Brian Baggett. He serves on the board of our ministry here, and so he's been here at Calvary for those board meetings, and we gather around. He believes that manna is actually Krispy Kreme donuts, because they match the description, you know, light and had a slight taste of honey. I mean, you go back. I haven't had a donut in a year and a half, so you know, I don't really want to talk about that. By the way, there's cookies and cake in the next room. But manna, you know, God provided for the children of Israel in a wonderful picture. Because you know what some guys would do? Let's be honest, some of us would have done the same thing. They're like, I'm getting me some more. I might be hungry tomorrow, you know. Who knows if there'll be more tomorrow. You see where the lack of faith is there? Why would they want to hoard it? Because they doubted it would be there the next day. Do you follow? So they would try to build up more. Listen, tomorrow's worries will take care of itself. Trust God today. You'll never get to tomorrow anyway. Tomorrow never comes. It's always today. So trust God for today. He's going to give you enough grace for today. Last year at this time, I had a horrible kidney stone. And it was, like I said yesterday, if you have a choice of getting a kidney stone or not, choose not. I had many opportunities to just worry about today and not tomorrow, right? That's a small thing. It wasn't life-threatening. Some of you in here are going through some serious stuff. Some of you are facing the most difficult times of your life. Listen, God's grace didn't run out on me when I had my kidney stone. God's grace isn't going to run out on Miles as Miles is faithfully staying with his family, even though he's ready to, you know, get on to the next part. Doesn't dislike us. God's grace is good for Miles. Guess what, friend? God's grace is good for you. Maybe you've had a death of a loved one recently. You know what? The Comforter's there. He's going to comfort you in ways that those of us who have not yet experienced, though, that will not understand until we reach that point. But His grace is sufficient. Aren't you grateful for that? Don't worry about trying to gather up, well, I better like stockpile the grace. The only day that they were allowed to do that was before the Sabbath, right? So they didn't have to work on the Sabbath. And I'll have to leave it to Pastor Dan to apply that because I didn't even think through that part, okay? But friends, as we go from here, be encouraged. No matter what you're facing, God is there. He hasn't forgotten you. And His grace is sufficient. His grace is there. Trust it. Trust Him. He will see you through. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your grace. I thank You that it is an expression of who You are. I love the pictures in Your Word you give us of how You love to work with Your children, and that we can receive from You, pressed down, running over. You work exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Lord, You're like a father that loves to show his children how strong he is. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth. Why? You're looking to show Yourself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward You. Lord, we're needy. We're needy people. We're dust. You remember that we're dust. You know that we're frail, as the psalmist says. Lord, we need Your grace. And we can claim it by faith because it's already there. Lord, I pray for that lonely person here tonight. I pray that they would take a hold of Your grace by faith and realize that You walk with them. Lord, I pray for that young person who's struggling in an area in their life and maybe not a lot of people know about it. Oh, Lord, press upon their heart through Your word that Your grace is there and will enable them. Lord, for that mother, for that father with the wayward child, Lord, make Your grace evident all throughout the families. And Lord, for all of us as a church and with sister churches represented here as well, Lord, we look forward to seeing how Your grace will work. Even as the darkness outside gets darker, the light shines brighter and we see You at work even more. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.